Hey everyone, today's episode is a mashup from my good friend Evan Carmichael. We're going to learn about chasing money and how it almost destroyed me. And of course, the 10 rules to practice so you can be more successful. Tweet me at David Meltzer, your favorite takeaway, and ask me questions live every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can always join my text community, 949-298-2905. Or email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Okay, let's kick it off with rule number one. Don't make money your God.
My dad was super quick, right? I have this ability to coalesce and understand things in a very quick way. He also was extremely generous. Like money was not his God, right? Money was beneath his feet. And that's where my transformation occurred. I had to learn that. But my dad, retired when he was 31. He was millionaire, bankrupt. Mm. He could make money like this. He had great charisma, great speaking ability. And so I took on a lot of his energy. And that's why I went bankrupt.
Right.
Because I was like my father.
Really? It was like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And he saw it. For my 30th birthday, my father, when I was 10 years old, that's where I started hating him. My dad forgot my birthday. So he had this beautiful, hot stepmom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was closer to my age than
his age. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I loved her. So anyway, he kind of completely started ignoring us, right?
Wow.
So he forgot my birthday, super hurt, right?
Of course.
It was beyond. So when I did talk to him, I said, how could you? And so he projected his insecurity and he said, well, I don't believe in birthdays. That was his way of handling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're 10 now, I don't believe in birthdays. So not only did he forget my birthday when he was 10, he then had to live up to his word, and he didn't give me a birthday card to remember any of my birthdays till I was 30. This is when I started, right, becoming friends. On my 30th birthday, my dad gave me a beautiful blazer, not as nice as that, but a beautiful one, fit me just perfectly. So I knew not only did he buy it for me, but he must have asked one of my brothers or someone for my size.
Yeah, so he cared that extra little bit.
Oh yeah, he meant to give me a gift that meant something. Here I'm like, maybe he's gonna say sorry. That's in my mind, right? So I get this gift and I put on the jacket and I thought, maybe it's off the shelf, it's not gonna fit. Like I know my dad.
Right.
Man, it fit perfectly, right? 42 short.
And of course that meant a whole lot to you.
It meant a lot. So then I open it up. Open your jacket for a sec, right? All these pockets torn out.
Just ripped out.
He ripped them out. Not even with the scissors. He literally ripped them out. So then I call him. I'm like heartbroken. I'm like, he's trying to mess with me.
Yeah.
This, because I was starting to feel we were friends. I'm thinking, he's like made a point of something. So I'm like, Dad, I got the jacket. I appreciate it, but I can't use it. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, all the pockets are ripped out. He goes, yeah, I ripped them out. And in my head, I'm like, excuse my language, you dick. honestly, you finally give me something really nice.
Yeah.
And he goes, because I'm worried about you. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you're just like me, I'm worried. He goes, you're just driven by money, man. He goes, I was a multimillionaire at the time. He goes, I retired at 31. He goes, I know you could retire right now. He goes, and I see everything like me in you. Mm-hmm. So I gave you that jacket. I was like, was this your old jacket?
How old were you at this time? You said 30, right?
30th birthday. Big birthday. And he said, no. He said, I go, I can't wear this jacket. I wanted to wear it to think of you. He said, I know. He goes, I never want you to wear the jacket. I was like, why'd you give me the birthday present, Dad? He goes, because I want you to hang it in your closet and look at it every day and remind yourself, can't take anything with you. Right? Can't take anything with you. So that was the energy. Sure enough, 2 years later, retired at 32, an asshole.
Yeah.
Just like my dad.
Chasing money.
Yeah. Wrong people, wrong ideas. My wife warned me 2 years later. As I retired from the time my wife warned me, I ended up losing everything.
Rule number two, meditate.
Meditation for me is 20 minutes every morning. First thing that I do. And what it does is it finds my center. That's all for me. It's almost like baseline testing for a concussion. Because what I've learned is that life is like the big tall hill in San Francisco with a car on top. That's your center when the car is up there. You can hold it, a truck you can hold with your finger when it's sitting on top of a hill. The minute this thing starts rolling downhill, you gotta put it back up. The longer it goes downhill, the harder it is to get back up. Right. What I used to do during the day is I'd let that truck keep flying down the hill and trying to react instead of act by going back to center.
And is this emotional? That's how I think of it. I think of it as anxiety, stress, emotion. Those are the things I'm trying to bring back to center.
Correct. So anything that takes you off of peace, oneness, wholeness, that feel peaceful feeling, if something moves me in that direction, instead of reacting, talking, yelling, all the different things, throwing things, whatever you are, go back to center.
Rule number three, be accountable.
One truth I wanted to understand really well was accountability. Because I never understood when my mom was explaining accountability to me, and I thought about sitting at a stop sign and some kid texting behind me and slamming into the back of me, and my mom would say, oh, but you're accountable. And as a lawyer, I'm thinking, BS, they're liable. Well, that was the problem, right? I was confusing accountability with liability, and my mom would teach me to ask two questions. Number one, what did I do to attract that into my life? And two, what am I supposed to learn from that? After that, I'll call the insurance company. So accountability was extremely important.
Rule number four, have faith.
In a lily pond, a lily doubles its growth every day. And so if I was going to tell you this pond right here has one lily in it, and it will take 30 days for the lilies to cover the entire pond, what day would the lilies cover half the pond? Now, most people, the first thought that you have is 15 days. No, that's the problem. That's why you have questions like, I can't find my niche, I don't know my purpose, I don't know my why. It's because in 30 days, on day 29, is when the lily pond is halfway covered. The next day, it'll be fully covered. The scary thing is, on day 28, 2 days, it's only a quarter covered. Only a quarter covered 2 days before. So you're working day one through 28, not seeing hardly any increase, any revelation of niche or experience or spectrum. Got to have faith. You've got to have faith in what you're doing by enjoying Find the Light, the Love, and the Lessons in what you're doing, and be able to do it every single day so you get the doubling effect of the lilies, so that, yes, you get to day number 28 and day number 29, and especially day number 30. And guess what's so fun about that? In day 31, you need two ponds, and in day 32, you need four ponds.
My dream is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. That's a pretty big dream. People laughed at me, and when I started, I had the same question: how am I actually going to do this, right? I know the impact of it, and I know, you know, that it would change the world, but now then I said, oh my God, am I saying I can change the whole world, empowering over 1 billion people to create a collective consciousness? And then I started thinking about it and saying, well, what do I need to do to get started? You know what I need to do? I need to empower one person to be happy. Then I said to myself, okay, can I teach that one person to teach somebody else? Right, because now I get that faith going, the faith of what I want. Then I say to myself, can I do it one more time? Can I teach one person to teach one person to teach one? Empowering one person to empower one person to empower one person took me years. But once I got there, now I connected the dots backwards and said, I just got to do that 1,000 more times. I freed myself into moments of doubt, not minutes, not days, not weeks, not months, not years. I only have moments of doubts now, but you got to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit. Figure out the math of what you want, and let's go inch by inch. Let's scale it out with the calculator of faith, exponentially grow into the expansive being that you are. Everybody out there, you can't out-ask it, out-dream it, out-believe it, out-abundance it. Don't doubt it. You can't do it. So stick to the math and do the best that you can to get where you want to be.
Rule number five, explore the reasons.
Why are you such a good negotiator? What is it that you do? Is there a process like that? Like, what
Absolutely.
Is it?
I think it's part of being more interested than interesting. So what I do is I explore the reasons that you want what you want. I want to explore the impact that it has and the capabilities that you currently have, that you want to have, and that you actually need. And then I align those with the reasons that I want to do the deal, the impact that it has for me, and the capabilities that I have, want, or need. And when I figure that all out in negotiation, I actually can make a bigger whole than other people. I'm dealing, hey, I could give you this, you could give me that, and we both really win.
Rule number six, choose who you listen to.
I graduate law school and I have two jobs.
How old are you?
I'm 24 turning 25.
Okay.
I have two job offers at 24. Recession.
So most of my class
perfect timing
for a job. I had one job offer to be a oil and gas litigator, right? And it was with a big oil company.
What was the salary? Do you remember?
The base salary is like 110.
Okay.
A lot of money.
Right, at that
early
time.
Early 90s. Yeah, a good salary. And then I got offered a job to sell, no practicing law, to sell legal research on the internet. Now, the internet wasn't what the internet was in the early 90s.
It was right.
Phone lines and nobody knew what it was.
Right.
So I go to my mom, who's my trusted advisor, and I said, Mom, what should I do? Oil and gas litigator or sell legal research online? Now, the legal research online job paid like $40,000 salary.
Base, and then base. Commission.
Commissions, I was fired unless I made 100. They made it very clear.
Gotcha.
You have to hit, your mark is 100 minimum, plus $80,000 expense account because gotcha. It was a lot of travel. So they gave you $2,500 for rent. They gave me $1,200 for a cell phone, and nobody is a bag phone.
Right, right. I mean, yeah.
So that was tax free money. So you know, I'm a money guy.
Right,
I'm thinking $80,000 tax free is 160.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. 160 alone, plus a base of 100 puts me at 260. If I just, and I can sell ice to Eskimos.
Right, right.
So I go to my mom and ask her, without blinking, she said, you gotta be a real lawyer. You know, take the oil and gas job, right? And for the first time in my life, I realized just because somebody loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice.
That's powerful right there.
It was so many times. Because what happens if I would have taken my mom's advice, she only wants the best for me.
Right, the safest, the smoothest. Right,
whatever is her value. But what does my mom know? You know what my mom said about the internet? Why I shouldn't take the internet job? Because I was leaning that way.
Right.
She said, the internet, Dave, is a fad.
Yeah.
I know we laugh now.
Yeah, but
literally,
there was no
reference.
Someone
telling you the esports is a fad. 2 years ago, I had owners of professional NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL teams tell me esports is a fad. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not embarrassed to tell you my second grade teacher mom thought the internet was going to be a fad.
Right, yeah.
So I, you know, completely went against my mom and I took the job with one promise to her that I would take the bar because she was convinced that I was going to fail within a year.
Pass the bar exam.
I passed the bar exam. By the time I passed the bar, take the job, I'd fail. And I just, it wouldn't have slowed me down any, and there'd be another oil and gas job.
Rule number 7, learn to cancel negative thoughts.
An effective communication is the ability to connect to everything that's relative to me. All that's relative to me, the people, the places, the things, all the associates, all the relationships, even the universe. And if I can connect to all of those things, I can be inspired or in spirit, and I can vibrate closer to the truth and be aware of so much more. But I had a problem connecting because I had these three levels that I had to connect on. One is that body level of conscious thought. I have this little guy in my head that is negative, but I learned to cancel those negative thoughts. So all conscious thoughts to me, if they are negative, they attract more negative thoughts to me. I just say cancel. And then what happens is once in a while, I attract that same negative thought back. I'm having trouble sleeping. I wake up early anxious. I know no one else is like that, and I can't understand why, but then I realize it's because I have a belief in my mind that negative belief is attracting the negative thought back. So I had to come up with a mechanism called clear. So when it happens, I just clear my mind, clear.
Rule number 8, ask and attract.
The thing that seems like your superpower from the outside is that you go into everything with an open mind, not knowing what the answer might be, and looking for ways that are completely outside the realm of even what I would think to ask for, and is part of what is anybody's power in a negotiation, being able to make the ask?
Yeah, so there's three things. One, people buy on emotion for logical reasons. So you have to address the emotions. And so that's that open nature that you feel and see and from knowing me now. The other two is not only an ask, it's an attract. So I believe there's four mediums that you can ask and attract on. The first, in person. So being more interested than interesting, we were going to meet in person today. I know that I strategically, for the benefit of both of us, have asks and attracts. Right? One of those simple asks was, you know, I really wanted you to sign something to put into my studio, right? Because everyone I do. That's just a simple one, but I'm thinking about that. So in person, ask and attract. Then on the phone, every phone call I receive, not push out, right? I'm on the defensive in my life. I'm attracting, right? I'm allowing things. So I know that I'm going to receive phone calls today. I'm going to have asks and attracts. And I know that because unconditionally I ask people, is there anything I can do for you? How can I be of service? And they'll either tell me or not. And invariably, they're almost forced to by the laws of nature to ask me what I want. I have an ask and attract.
Rule number 9, go back to the center.
If I feel guilty, I go back to center. If I feel anxious, I go back to center. Two things I do, time and ego. I keep my eye and awareness on time and ego. Whenever I'm worried about time, like things aren't happening on a certain time frame, or
right,
just go back to center. Whenever I do something out of ego, anxiety, fear, need to be right, need to be offended, need to be superior, inferior, separate, whatever it is, I just go back to center. First, forgive myself, because if I forgive myself, I can give forgiveness to others. And then I get better. I just try to get better.
And rule number 10, the last one before a very special bonus clip, is understand the law of attraction.
I saw The Secret a year ago. I was not someone who believed in the, I didn't even know, I didn't understand the ability to manifest. I had never heard conceptually about that. So for me, I was just exposed to this a year ago, and I thought there's nothing I can lose here by writing down what I'd like to manifest and then taking it to the next level and then trace it and then speak it into existence. And all, learning about, opening your mind to learn about all these things has a domino effect. Wouldn't you agree that you start finding yourself having contact with other people who are masters in this or experts in this?
Well, that's because there's a mathematical formula to this that I try to break things down to a really simplistic level. So what we pay attention to, and then we give it intention, creates the coincidences in our lives. And coinciding is a mathematical term to me. It's not an accident. It's two things that are perfectly coming together at a perfect time, the right way at a perfect time. So I'm very cognizant of what I pay attention to and the intention I give it so that I get the coincidences that I want in my life. And it really works as a mathematical equation. And I make it a consistent, persistent practice to pay attention to the right things. Now, here's where it takes another level for me is I thought about faith, you know, like I'm going to put faith in this. And that got really confusing because I aggregated what I think, say, do, and believe. And I even started looking at the unconscious competencies, my genetics of personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, and how all these things were my faith. No religious context at all. Then I met a guy who wrote Atomic Habits, James Clear, and he talked about voting. And I started saying, faith is like voting. I'm just going to vote for what I want. And my biggest mistakes in my life, I'm always voting for what other people want for me. And then I'm pissed off when I get it. And I'm resentful when I get it. And I'm just very hard now. I know what I'm voting for, and I know it's going to be elected into my life. And so I keep voting for what I want. And if my mind tells me something that I don't want, I don't vote for it. And I see so many people voting for what they don't want and then really upset or resentful or offended when they get it, or even surprised. And so I think all of these things combined together, combined to voting is what I'm paying attention to. The intention's the action. Right? So it's not just paying attention and saying, I want this, or thinking about it. It's actually get off your butt. Don't sit at home high on your mom's couch sick. Do something about it. Be efficient, effective, productive, and accessible. We were talking earlier. I heard you, Dave doesn't like busy. No, I hate busy. Busy means inaccessible. I'm active. I have activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. I'm productive and accessible. I provide value, and I'm accessible to what I want and accessible to others.
Now, I've got a really special bonus clip that I think you're going to enjoy.
There were some things that are just made me unhappy. I couldn't understand it, not at a physical level, not at a mental level, but I kept attracting the same things back into my life. Even though I changed my thoughts and I changed my physicality, it kept coming back. The same person dating, the same business issues, the same business partner, all these things, I can't understand why. It's because I had to learn to shift my energy. And this is how we do it. I close my eyes and I think about what makes me most unhappy. And in what makes me most unhappy, I find a light. And I find that light and I cover what makes me most unhappy. And then in the same mind's eye, I look and I see what makes me most happy. My family, Bananas Foster's cheesecake, whatever I love. And I take what makes me most unhappy and I take that light and I cover it over what makes me happiest. And now I have one big ball light in front of me from what makes me most unhappy and what makes me happy, and I put it over myself. And I hold that light there until my energy shifts and I feel happy.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all of the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.